You know, Pastor Herman, I was going to ask Sister Carol and Pauline and my wife to come up and sing "By the Blood of the Lamb," how they sing up here. But Pastor Herman saved you guys, so that was my worship. I was going to have this, yeah, that'll work. But you know what? I was daydreaming just really fast. I don't want to take too much time. There'll be a fast message anyways. You know, I was daydreaming a couple months ago, and, you know, just stick with me for a second. You know, how God created Lucifer, you know, the most beautiful creation at that time. You know, I just picture him walking down the halls, just strutting his stuff, you know, up in heaven, passing by Jesus, saying, "Hey, Jesus, hey, Lucifer, how you doing?" But then how pride was found in him, and he was cast down to earth. We all know that. But the thing about it is, do you know how to put Satan in his place and under your feet is to worship? Because you know how powerful worship is? I mean, tonight, we don't need any musical instruments. You know, Pastor Herman led us right into the presence of God. Look at Paul and Silas. They didn't have any instruments, and the prison was broke open. So anyways, yeah, I mean, if you're going through some stuff, you want to put Satan under your feet where he belongs, just start worshiping the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And that was just a revelation that the Holy Spirit gave to me, and just like, stick with it. You know, you want to put him in his place, just worship the Lord. But anyways, I want you guys to take a look around you guys. And this is our company. This is our family. This is the ones that we stick together with. Right on. Well, everybody can take a seat. Amen. That's the glorious church. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see what we got here. Well, thank you guys for showing up tonight. Actually, Pastor Herman and Pastor Carol, they sent out the texts about the people who are speaking and stuff. And normally I'm driving and rushing around. I just put okay or thumbs up or whatever. And then that night I get home and I put things down on the calendar. Okay, Pimey here, James here, you know, Jude, whatever. And I was going, my name's in here. I told Cheryl at the dinner table, I think Pastor Herman made a mistake because, you know, he didn't ask me. But anyways, how many, you know, we always got to be ready. You know, just like Pastor Herman was encouraging us tonight, we got to take our place and we got to be ready. And you know, it's an honor to be used by the Lord. You know, like we all love the Lord and we all want to be in His perfect will and His plan. So you know, I just, you know, whatever God calls you to, and actually that's a little bit of my message. We just gotta be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So, just as Pastor Carol called us the holies of holies, I better tie a rope onto my leg just in case. Just in case something goes off. Okay, anyways. All right, well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are God, Father God. And Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, as I yield myself unto you tonight, Lord. It's just all you and nothing of me, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that the word that you placed in my heart comes out clear and just in perfect line of what you want for your wonderful people right here. Amen. Okay, well, I got a fast question for you guys. Or actually, I'll ask Jaime. Jaime, did you ask God what family you want to be born in? Of course not. Did we ask him what you know, the oldest to the youngest? No. God places us where he wanted us. You know, God placed Jaime and Herman and me, you know, in the families that he wanted us to be in. And that's, we didn't ask him why. We didn't ask him much questions. We didn't tell him why I want to be the oldest or the youngest. And the same goes with our church body. You know, there's I didn't ask to be here. This was planned out before the foundations of the earth. You know what? And where God places us, we need to flourish. You know, and so, yeah, I just want to, and, you know, growing up in a family that I have, we had 5 siblings too. You know, my mom and dad were in charge. Pastor Herman and Carol are in charge. You know, when they rang the dinner bell, which they didn't ring the dinner bell, my dad used to whistle, and we all used to come to eat, you know. And you show up, you know. And the same thing that happens here, you know, when we need to be here on Wednesday nights and we need to be here on Sunday nights. We need to be accountable for our positions in the local body, in your local family, you know. And, yeah, we behaved at the dinner table. You know, my dad was a lot like your dad. You know, we had, you know, our kids should be seen and not heard. You know, if you get out of line, you know, you'll get the strap. You know, and we didn't have child abuse back in them days. So, you know, So anyways, yeah. So that's how I want to start. And why don't we go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 17th verse. We could just go there, start. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, this is exciting. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, and that keep watch over your soul without resting, since they have to give account to God. So it's the benefit for us to be a pleasure and not a heavy burden. You know, because everything that we're asked to do, and you know, in our physical family and in our local church, you know, we're really not supposed to question it. I mean, we don't question it. When Pastor Herman asks me to do something, you know, I go about it the best of my ability, you know. And Pastor and our mom and dads, they know our abilities. You know, they're not going to give us something that we can't do. A while ago, my son-in-law and daughter lived in Lanai. They moved next door to us, which was a pleasure. But, you know, I used to ask my son-in-law to help me do things, and I used to get frustrated because he couldn't help me do what I thought he could do. But you got to know where your call is. You know, you got to know where your strengths are. Like James, he's awesome on the sound. You know, and Jaime and Lambert, these guys are wonderful musicians. And I used to get frustrated with Andrew. And but, you know, I came to a point, you got to recognize their strengths. You know, like I could change his brakes. You know, I could hook up fans. But I can't hook up a VCR, and he can. You know, things like that. So we got to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. But on the other hand, you're supposed to build each other up too. You know, and since then, you know, I've taught him how to put up fans and stuff like that. And he taught me other things. So we're supposed to carry one another in the body. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be patient with one another. And, you know, and I thank God that Pastor Herman and Carol are patient with me. I'll just bring it on home because, you know, I need a lot of help, and they're my help, and they're our help, because they're our spiritual parents. So, yeah, I mean, we're supposed to be a blessing to them. We're not supposed to be a hindrance. You know, if they ask us to do something, we do it. And that's, you know, that's just the bottom line. Yeah, so why don't we go to Romans 12, please? And some houses are all going to mix up. They're just going to all blend in. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 3. We'll go from 3 to 8. Okay, actually, on my headlines, it says, the proper role in the body of Christ. Okay, God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. Okay, we just heard what Pastor Herman was talking about, pride. You know, okay. I would like to ask each one of you to be empty of self-promotion and create a false image of your importance instead of honesty. Access your worth by using God's given faith as a standard of measurement. Okay, and then you'll see the true value of your appropriate self-esteem. In a human body, there are many parts, organs of each unique function, and so it is the body of Christ. For though we are many, we are all been mingled as one body in Christ. This means that we're all vitally joined together, each one contributing to another. You know, this is God's marvelous grace that imparts to us. But anyways, you know, you look at that, just how important we are. And Pastor Carol mentioned, I don't know if this past Sunday, you know, you step on your toe's going to hurt your whole body. You know, and so, you know, we're all vitally connected. You know, and I'm going to take you to something at someplace else, but, you know, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one needs help, you know, we help. And, you know, it's pretty exciting this past Sunday because I was ready and eager to wash the dishes, but we had some other couple go in there, and just people are just starting to, to catch on. Yeah, Delphine? And it was exciting. I mean, this is home. This is our family. This is my family. And so I was excited to see that. But anyways, we're all connected, and we're all jointly fitted together, and we need to help one another. You know, this is one body and one family, and this is our company. I like that word, company. Okay. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. First Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, Pastor, that was a good word, casting all your cares. I woke up this morning thinking, oh, I got to minister tonight. Nah, just kidding. A little truth there, though. This month sure flew by fast. When there's something going on, it's just, shoo, already time. Okay, where is she? Okay, here we go. Okay, 12. 11. Hang on, I don't got an iPad. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm just going to go down to 12. And I'm just going to read this again, as we all know it, but it's pretty cool. I like it. It says, just as a human body is one, though many parts together form one body is to Christ. For by the Spirit, we are immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter how our status, whether we are Jew or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply from the same Holy Spirit. That's so powerful. That's so powerful. In fact, the human body is not one part, but rather many parts mingled into one. I'm reading out of the Message. I like the Message. Anyways. Since I am not a hand, Since I'm not, the body's going to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm going to say I'm not part of the body. It's forgetting that a single vital part of the body, and if one says I'm an eye, we'll start here again. So if the foot were to say, I'm not a hand and I'm not a part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still a vital part of the body. And if the ear says, since I'm not an ear, I'm not really part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear? If the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell? How could it smell different fragrance? But God has carefully designed each member and placed each in the body to function as he desired it. A diversity is required, for if the body is consisted of one single part, which wouldn't be the body of all. So now we see that there are many different parts and the function of one body. So, I never asked to be an elder, or even in this position where pastor placed us, you know, and say it, you could take it back in the workplace or the family. You know, we don't ask God, you know, God designed it like this. You know, God designed me to be here at this position, and I didn't ask for it. Lambert didn't ask to be here, but God places us all as he sees fit. But I'm saying that, but as we grow in the Lord, you know, I was thinking, you know, if we had 5 Julios, that'd be great. If we have 5 Lamberts, that'd be great. You know, 5 legs. You know, what I'm trying to get at is, you know, when everybody starts coming up to one level where we're supposed to be, you know, before Jesus comes back, man, this, you know, we don't need a big church to explode. I mean, we've had prophecies and words over this church, and you think it's a small church, which is fine. You know, Pastor, we don't care what size church it is, but if it's a powerhouse, that's all we're looking for. You know, and if there's 5 Elizabeths, gosh, Elizabeth, you have such a beautiful voice. I mean, man, can you imagine that? So we're all supposed to come up. All supposed to come up. We're not supposed to be lacking in any area. You know, Lyle will have plenty of help, and you know, we'll all have plenty of help to do anything we need. And so, and of course, it'll be a compliment to our mom and dads. So, you know, so that's what I was talking about then. Okay, So let's go to Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25, verse 14. Okay, so this is, okay, so you know the gifts and abilities and things that God has given us, you know, he's going to require us to start developing them. Because I was just talking to Lambert just in the beginning of the service, you know, we don't want to go to heaven sooner than we're supposed to go. You know, we're gonna get to heaven. We're gonna like, darn, I should have did this, or darn, I should have did that for the Lord. You know, we all have gifts and we all have talents that we're gonna be required to we're gonna stand before God. You know, have to give account of everything that we've done and have not done. So, you know, okay, let's go into this. This is kind of a long one, so hope I can make it. Okay, again, the heaven realm is like a wealthy man who went on a long journey, and we all know this, but it's pretty cool, and summoned his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to his servant, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins. Okay, once the one entrusted with the 5,000 coins immediately went back and traded the money and doubled the investments. And the same way, he entrusted the 2,000 coins and traded the sum, likewise doubled the investment. But the other one, who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold bags, dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After such a time has passed, the master turned and settled account with his servants. The one who had entrusted the 5,000 gold coins came and brought back another 5,000, saying, "See, master, I doubled your money." Commending the servant, the master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Gosh, isn't that going to be so cool when we stand before God and we hear that? That's awesome. I mean, I just get chicken skin just thinking about that. That's just like, wow. I mean, I, when I was studying it, it was pretty cool. But right now, it's just like, wow, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, where are we at? Okay, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. "And proving yourself to be loyal and trustworthy servant, because you have been faithful steward and managing a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much more. You've experienced the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Come and celebrate with me.'" Wow, heavy. Then the other one had been entrusted with the 2,000 coins, said, "Master, I have doubled your money and that you have entrusted me." Commended the servant, the master replied, "You have done well and proven yourself to be loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you were faithful in managing a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much more. You will experience the delight of your master, and who will say to you, 'Come and celebrate with me.'" Then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came and to his master and said, "Look, sir, I know that you're a hard man to please, and you're shrewd and ruthless businessman who grew rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you, so I went and put your money and buried it in the ground. And here is yours to take." Angered by what he heard, the master said, "You untrustworthy and lazy servant, you knew I was a shrewd and ruthless businessman who always makes profit. Why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? Then I would at least receive back with interest with my return. Because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give it to the one who has 10,000. For that one will be given more until it overflows with abundance. And the one who hardly had anything the little that I give him will be taken away. Then the master said to the other servants, now throw that no good for nothing servant away into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. So I got a couple of things out of that. I got more than just a couple of things. You know, when we stand before God, and we will, you know, what do you want him to say to you? You know what I'm saying? We all want him to say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in, take your place at my dinner table. But, you know, then we see this other one, he was lazy. You know, lazy, I don't get along with lazy people. But, you know, what I got out of it is, you know, if you're not using your talents, there's going to be a point. There might come a point that they're going to take it away. You know, the Holy Spirit will just take it away and give it to somebody else. Give it to Lambert. You know, it's very, very important that whatever you think that what you're supposed to do, you know, it's easy for me. It was easy for me. It still is because I like to help. When I got saved, you know, I was eager to help, just like Dr. Dufresne was, to clean the toilets. I did everything. I didn't care. You know, I lived in Paia, and our church was, I lived in Lower Waihoubich Road, and our church was in Paia. You know, I used to go to Paia, you know, all the time in the morning time, 5 o'clock in the morning to pray, and used to set up the equipment. Anyways, I did my trip because I was really excited to serve the Lord. And you know what? That hasn't left me. You know, that hasn't left me. And my kids grew up in it, and you know what? My kids aren't lazy. You know, they're excited. You know, they're good workers, and they love the Lord. One's still being worked on, but the three of them, three out of four, are really plugged into the Lord. But you know what? Another thing is, what we do as parents, some guy told me today at work, just really off the bat, that he says, oh, you know what? Just rubbish talk. You know, I think he's sleeping with her or whatever, and he's a married man. And I said, and I told him, I said, you know, that's one sin that will carry over into your kids. Because I started talking about King David. You know, I went down through his kids. I said, you don't want to mess with that. But anyways, that's just touching on things. I don't even know why I said that. But being a father, you know, I've always tried to dot my I's and cross my T's. Because, you know what? I believe it could open a door for my family at all times. We've been married for almost 35 years, and it's been like that. You know, I still do to this day. You know, I blow it. You know, like James, I think about you a lot, James. You know, you remind me of King David because when you come up here, you're so transparent and you say how much you blow it all the time, but yet you repent. You know, look at you. You're such a man of God and I love you. You know, you remind me a lot about King David, but that's all about. We're going to blow it. We're all going to blow it, but, you know, we need to get right back. And so I've always had that as my golden rule, you know, just always try to dot my I's and cross my T's, even today, you know. And, you know, I love the Lord. I love my church. And, you know, and I'm excited to what the days are to ahead of us, you know, because I've seen this church transform into what it is today. And it's awesome, you know, to be here and even speaking. I mean, other managements or other pastors weren't even like this. We're under new management now. This management's good. But, you know, we didn't have opportunity to do this. And then now, you know, Pastor Herman and Carol are just giving everybody an opportunity. I believe you don't have to be an elder up here. We've seen Lena up here speaking, you know, Lag and my wife. And you know what? Just get in tune. Start coming up. Start getting involved. You know, I want to see other people up here, Brenda. I want to see other people up here. You know, because it's cool. It's exciting. God has been good to me, and God is good to us. But so I'll finish off on one last scripture, and I kind of already bounced on this, but it'll be Romans 14, please. Romans 14. Romans has been so awesome. I read Romans and finished off, and I wanted to read it again. And it's just, Romans has just been really ministering to me. Romans 14, 12. Oh, we'll go 11. It says, As surely as I am the living God, I tell you, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess the truth and glorify me. Therefore, each one must give an answer for himself and give a personal account for what he's done. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool if you're going about the Father's business. You know, like I just want to encourage everybody tonight. And it's encouraging to me too. We just, you know, it says in Timothy, I don't know if anybody, Bible scholars know, but, you know, it calls us the army, soldiers, the army of God, soldiers in the body. And you know what, when my daughter was in band, Maui High, these guys were awesome, the marching band. I mean, these guys were in sync. I mean, everybody knew where to turn, what turn, you know, I mean, they could have been whacking each other and could have been out of order, and it could have been a mess. You know, but God called us an army. You know, we're in the army of God. And everybody in an army, you know, to be a good army, you know, they're trained to walk in line, you know, to do whatever they're called to do. But nobody is, everybody knows what everybody's supposed to do. You know what Lambert's going to do. We know what Lag's going to do. We all need to know what to do. We all need to be in sync because, you know what, we're in the last days. You know, even if there wasn't the last days, this is my last days. So we need to, you know, we need to get our act together. I need to get my act together. You know, I have a personal Bible here. It's pretty cool. I was going to bring it out, but, you know, it says that Reuben will have to give an account, you know, and Reuben has to do this and Reuben has to do that. It's my personal Bible that I got years ago. But yeah, I bring it home, you know, and so I just want to encourage each and every one of us to find your place, you know, and if you don't know, I believe we all know where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. You know, ask the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have questions, ask your pastors. But it's time. It's time for us to get hooked up. Wouldn't it be cool to have like 3 sound people, James? You know, and just, yeah. Yeah, we all have. So I'm just, you know, putting it out there. I mean, there's always something for somebody to do. There's nothing that nobody will be not doing if we all do something. So I just want to encourage us to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord of what we need to do as a body, as a family, as an ohana. And yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be glorious. You know, we don't want to go home and stand before the Lord thinking that you should have did other things when you didn't. So don't let time run out on us. Don't let time run out on us because it's running out. So that's all I have, guys. You know, pastor and everybody, you know, I hear ministers looking for a landing spot. Okay, well, boom. That's my... No, but, you know, I've gone longer. I mean, it's getting better. Well, I love you guys.